It's with great joy that I introduce our guest pastor, Reverend Michael Sicoccio, you know, as the Executive Director and CEO of Schenectady City Mission. I know him as the man who said good morning. I could tell you about Mr. Mike's degrees, including an honorary doctorate from Union College, his time playing professional baseball, or as Deputy Mayor of Schenectady, but I'd rather tell you about the past year. I was privileged to be a part of a group of volunteers who witnessed the Bridges to Freedom graduation 2 weeks ago at City Mission. Six graduates spoke incredibly well about their time at City Mission, what it meant to them, and what the program has given them. One man, we'll call him Steve, said, thank you to Mike and many, many others, but he said, Mike said good morning. And with that good morning every day for a year, this man found the power to come into City Mission, accept that he needed help, accept that he needed a future, accept that he needed to find God in his life, and was led to the hands of all the people Mike coordinates to function and work for Schenectady in City Mission. Stephen, through the program, has been transformed and has been working in a job, will continue, has skills to be all that he is, and has been given to be as a child of God. But it's only because he was comfortable enough with himself after being acknowledged by another with a good morning. Welcome, Pastor Mike. Thank you for being here. I look forward to hearing your words. Let's prepare to worship God. We light the Christ candle to remind ourselves that Christ, who is the light of the world, is the light of our lives and of our time of worship together. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt God's name forever. O give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to the Lord. Tell of all God's wonderful works. Glory in the holy name of the Lord. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek God's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and the judgments uttered. O offspring of Abraham, children of Jacob, chosen ones. The Lord is our God. God's judgment are in all the earth. The Lord is mindful of the holy covenant forever, of the world commanded for 1,000 generations. Praise the Lord. Please join me for hymn number 452.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us today and every day. Amen. Please be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is most powerfully experienced for all of us, I think, when we express to the Lord our sadness over the wrong that we have done in our lives. Each of us seeks to be a true and wonderful example of our Lord's grace and mercy to our neighbors, to others who are like us, and to those who are different from us, to those that we agree with and those that we do not agree with. We seek to be the best representation of our Lord. That is our mission. That is why we have been birthed into this world, to give glory to God through our lives, our behavior, our attitudes, our words. And when we fall short of that, as we all do, there is grief within us. And we can experience God's grace that is renewing, empowering, giving life, by asking God's forgiveness and forgiving ourselves. So I ask all of you to join me in these words, that by the condition of our heart and the spirit within, we turn these words into a conversation that is sincere with our God. So please join me as we take a look at ourselves and ask God's forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord, you come to us, but we do not recognize you. You call, but we do not follow. You command, but we do not obey. You bless us, but we do not give thanks. Lord, you accept us, but we do not accept ourselves and others. You forgive us, but we do not forgive those who have wronged us. You love us, but we do not love one another. Please forgive us and help us. Lord, you show us how to carry out your mission, but we still insist on our own. You identify yourself with outcasts, the needy, and the poor, but we do not bother to find out what is happening to them. You suffered and died for the sake of all, but we do not give up our comfortable lives. Please forgive us, help us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, Father, we would voice our personal concerns about our lives as we continue our confession. Father, as we have offered these up to you, free us from the burden of our guilt and of our shame. Renew that right spirit within us. Give us eyes to see the faults that we do not see. And enable us to rise up like wings of eagles and to fly and soar in your word and in your spirit, to bring new life to ourselves and others around us into the world in which we live. In Christ's name, amen. Dear friends, rejoice and indeed be glad, for God has loved us so very much that he has forgiven us of our sins. Jesus Christ has been given to us. He is ours, our Savior. We are always loved by God. Let us go forth now and sin no more. Amen. Now we have a time for our offering, that we can give back to God what he so graciously give to us. And we remember, of course, that our offering is really twofold. It's not only our material gifts, as we'll take this morning, but it's the gifts that we have been given in this life. We see, we hear, we speak. These are gifts to give back. Amen. Thank you, God, for the chance to give so that children can learn of your love. Elders, the sick, and those who grieve can be visited. Hungry people can be fed. Our buildings is welcome and safe, and music and the good news of the gospel can fill our worship. We pray that we will be generous with all we have. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. I'd like to take this moment to say thank you to Ms. Grubbs for a beautiful solo that you have blessed us with, and for Shannon at the keyboards, at the piano, our pianist this morning. Thank you both very much. Now it's my deep honor to introduce Michael Sicoccio.
Good morning. It is great to be here this morning. Thank you so much. I want to thank Lynn for her very gracious introduction. Thank you, Lynn. It means a lot to me. And I also want to thank Bill at the morning service. We had a wonderful gathering out there in the sun, and while I was speaking, my notes blew away. And if you're a speaker, that's what we call fear number one. Am I getting too much feedback here? A little bit closer, a little bit further back. I'm in the bad spot. Okay, I'm coming closer then. How's that? Boy, aren't you glad Kristen is in the church? That's not working, is it? I'm going to go up to the pulpit. Okay, all right, here's plan B. That's the second time Bill rescued me today. Because when my notes blew away, he got them for me. And then he said, if it doesn't work up there, come up here. So thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Okay. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be found in the book of Exodus, And we're going to read Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Familiar words, Moses and the burning bush. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' And then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.'" And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. About 4 years ago, my father passed away, and not a day goes by that I don't think about him. I think about him every day. And this time of year especially, there's a story that I wanted to share. As Lynn mentioned, 4 years ago, almost to the day, I signed a contract to play professional baseball, 35 years ago to the day. And this was with the Montreal Expos organization, and this was a big thing for me because baseball was something I had given my life to, and this was the culmination. I was going to be a professional, and I remember driving out to Jamestown, New York, which is where my first team was, and sitting there signing the contract, and as excited as I was to sign a contract to play ball, I think I was more excited that my dad was there. And I said, "He's proud of me." And I always wanted my father to be proud of me. To this day, I want him to be proud of me. My father was a great guy. He was a great dad. He was a tough man. I don't ever remember him telling me he loved me. It was different for guys back then, but I always knew that he did. And so I signed on with this new team, and the season started, and boy, it did not go the way I hoped it was going to go. I wasn't playing very well. The team had already been playing some games. I had no friends, and I was like, all of a sudden, I went from being a popular guy to that guy that goes into the cafeteria and has no one to sit with. I mean, that was me. I was lonely, and I was away from home, and I wasn't playing well. I'm like, I do not like this. But there was a day coming that we were coming to Auburn, New York to play, and that was the closest we were going to be to my home, and I knew my parents and grandparents were going to come out and see me. I said, okay, this day is going to make up for all of it, okay, when I have a great game. And so the day came, my parents and grandparents drove 3.5 hours out to Auburn, and that didn't go well either. Okay, I struck out 3 times and hit into a double play. If you don't know baseball, that is not good. Well, I got to tell you, I was crushed. I remember after my last strikeout, walking into the dugout, and I can still see my grandfather. He was very elderly at that point, and driven 7 hours in a car to see me, and I had failed so badly. And so after the game, my dad was waiting for me in the parking lot before I got on the bus, and I said, "Dad, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit this team. I don't like it out here. I'm not playing well. I don't like the guys. No one seems to like me." I said, "I never felt like this before. I'm just going to come home." And my father paused and he said, "Okay, you're always welcome to come home, but you've never been a quitter. And I would hate to see you start now." It was the perfect thing to say. If he had said to me, "Yeah, come home," I think I would have gotten the car and not even gotten my gear. I just would have gone home. If he had said to me, "Quit being a baby," I would have come home to spite him. But he did something very different for me. He did two things for me. He gave me the assurance of home, but then he gave me the challenge to leave home and go out into the world and live boldly. And when I say home, what I really meant is he affirmed my identity. What he said to me in different words was, you are not your performance in this game. You're not your batting average. You're not your popularity with this group of guys. He said, as really only a parent can say it, I know what's in you. I know who you are. You are not a quitter. You can overcome this. It was like a GPS recalibrating when you take that wrong turn, right? And the GPS starts telling you how to get back on track. And I was making a wrong turn in life. And my dad steered me back on track, back to the goal. So he gave me the assurance of home, but it wasn't an invitation to stay home. Rather, in knowing I had a home, to go out and live a life worthy of being a man. I learned that home is not a hideaway, it's a launching pad. I've had to keep this truth close to heart as my boys have grown and are now making their way in the world. A wonderful quote that says, the harbor is the safest place for ships, but that's not what ships are for. They are built for the risks of the deep water, of the open sea. Now, this is a story of me and my father, but I share it with you this morning because I've learned that these are two things Jesus gives to each of us when we surrender our lives to him. First, he gives us a new identity, the assurance that we have a home with him. He teaches us, unlike the world that we live in and that we are vulnerable to, he teaches us that our identity is not found in the car we drive, or what we do for a living, or the house we live in. Our identity is in the fact that the King of Glory loves us, that he died on a cross to forgive our sins, as Bill talked about, to redeem us and to make us his own. That my identity and your identity, if we have come to Jesus Christ as our Savior, is that we are the beloved children of the Father, and this cannot be taken from us. So Paul can write in Romans, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Friends, how's that for identity? In a world where so much is fragile, where so much changes, where things can change in a moment, we sit here today knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And with this comes the assurance of home, so Jesus could tell his disciples the night before he died, in John chapter 14, as he tells us this very morning, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you also maybe. And that's why our pastor, our brother from Nigeria, can say, what are we about? We want to bring as many people home with Jesus. And those are words of truth. The pastor knows this isn't some fairy tale or some wish. It is a real home. The promise that Jesus gives those who love him. What great news. It's what allows us to live in peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. But it's not a call to be safe or comfortable, but rather to live boldly and pursuing his purpose for our lives. And friends, when we get that, when we put aside the voices of the world and hear the voice of Jesus tell us that our identity is in him, our lives are transformed, as really as the transformation Lynn witnessed at our graduation ceremony. And that's what I've learned at the mission over 28 years. When people come to realize, those who have arrived broken and beaten by life and often ashamed by what their life has become, that they realize that they are not the sum total of their failures. There is a new identity. That they belong to Christ, that they are his children. Oh, it's liberating. And men and women who are going in one direction go in a new direction. It's amazing. There's a man whose one of our heroes at the mission. He is as impactful for Jesus Christ as any person I know. And yet when he came from the mission, he had come out of prison. His life was very hard. He had made many mistakes, right? He got married a few weeks ago, and I was at the wedding, and some of his buddies from his hometown were speaking, and they were telling some stories about him. I'm saying, well, who is that guy? I don't even know that man. His nickname on the streets was Tyson. If you know anything about Mike Tyson, you can get a little bit about his personality. But they said, Tyson, I knew you in the darkness, brother. It's good to see you're in the light. His younger brother said, you couldn't be my big brother because you were lost. But now you've been found. Now I've got my big brother back. Now I'm the baby again. What they were celebrating is he was one way, and now, by the grace of Christ, he's another. But why is he like that? It's not because he heard a good message. It's he realized his identity was not in his past mistakes, but in the cross of Christ. And he had a home with Jesus. So now he pours himself out to share that good news with others. Right? This identity, this home, is not a harbor to settle in, but rather a place to launch out from into the fullness of God's calling in our lives. So this brings us to Moses and the passage we read today. Moses and the burning bush. You see, the first thing God does is he affirms Moses' identity. The first thing he says, he calls him by name. Moses. Moses. And then God deepens this identity by connecting Moses to his ancestry. He says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Friends, keep in mind, Moses at this point was a fugitive from Egypt. You see, Moses didn't know who he was anymore. He was born an Israelite, but he was raised in the home of Pharaoh as an Egyptian. But he committed a crime in Egypt, and he had to leave town. Moses didn't spend 40 years in the desert because he said, wouldn't it be great to live in the desert? Now you can imagine if you put yourself in his shoes, he's asking, who am I? I'm not an Israelite. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm lost. You see what God does for him? I know who you are, Moses. I know you by name. And I am the God of your fathers. You are not a fugitive from Egypt. You are a son of Israel. God says that to each one of us because sometimes in life we ask, who am I? What am I? God speaks to us in the same way he spoke to Moses. I know who you are. You're mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. And I love you. And then we see another clue about what it means to give our lives to Jesus. That famous passage that the bush is on fire but does not burn up. What is this telling us is that when Jesus comes into our lives, he sets us on fire. He illuminates us, but he does not burn us up. He does not obliterate our personality. He does not obliterate who we are. God created us. He knows what we were destined to be, what we were created to be. And when he comes into us, he fills us with his fire. We come alive in a new way, and then we radiate his light to all we come in contact with. You see, and this is so important because the voice of the world, the voice of the deceiver, says, don't give yourself to God because God will destroy you. Right? The greatest paradox of life is this. The world offers us freedom and it ends up in bondage. God says, be my servant and you will be free. I spoke at the mission just a couple weeks ago and I said to the folks there, many of them suffer with substance abuse. And I said, you know, when you first took that drug, wasn't it all about freedom? Right? I'll do my own thing. I'll be my own person. You can't tell me right and wrong. I'll do what I want to do. I am free. And what happened? Became in bondage to it. It owned you. And it's not just drugs. It can be material possessions. It can be our standing in the community. It can be the size of the house. Those are good things, but they're not our identity. I heard someone say the other day, the trap of materialism is that the possession can possess the possessor. Right? We can identify the possession possesses the possessor. And the word of Jesus is a word of freedom. You are free when you serve me. That's what that bush means. Christ comes in. We are on fire with his love and his spirit. We give light to others. And for the first time, we become what he created us to be. And from that understanding, from that identity, then there is always in our lives the call to then go out and go, right? That's what God says to Moses. God has a purpose for our lives. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out into that good and spacious land. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That is God's call to each one of us today. He says, I see the lostness of people. I see the suffering of people. I see the despair of people, and I love them. They are my children. You go, and you give them the freedom you have in me, the joy you have in me, the peace you have in me, and offer it to them. He sends us to do it today as surely as he sent Moses some 3,000 years ago. And he gives us one promise, that he'll be with us. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. Every one of our lives today, we stand in front of a bush that is burning and not consumed. God calls us by name. He affirms our identity in him. And then he says, go. And you know, we know the famous word in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go into all the world. But what that word really means is as you go. It's a powerful distinction, because what Jesus is saying is that you're not only on missions when you go to the other side of the world, although it is clearly part of missions. We are on missions every step we take. You see, Jesus says, as you go, let that fire that is me inside of you warm the lives of others and give hope and enlighten the lives of others, whether it's to Nigeria, whether it's to America, whether it's to the neighborhood or the workplace. As you go, tell them about me. Let my light shine forth. And that's what I love about being a servant of Jesus, is my greatest calling is in everyday life. We call it the mission, redeem the ordinary, because in Christ there are no ordinary moments. That's why I so appreciate Lynn sharing that story. I rarely have had a person from the mission graduate say to me, boy, I appreciate your preaching, or I appreciate these buildings. But almost every time, folks will say to me, every morning you came over and shook my hand, and you knew my name, and that made a difference for me. And I've learned that's really what my assignment is. It's all of our assignments everywhere we go. You know, when you go to Stewart's to get coffee, I was saying this morning, how did we turn that into such a serious transaction? All right, I walk into Stewart's to get coffee. Here's how. Instead of walking in saying, I've got this fire in me, Father, who am I supposed to go to? Because that person behind the counter, they might be hurting. They might be struggling. And God says, I love her. I love him. Bless them. Do you know the power of a smile? And yet how often do we fail to give it? The joy of following Jesus is every moment of every day is an opportunity to let the fire burn in us and give warmth and light to others. That's the call to go. But you'll never sustain it unless the energy comes from knowing who you are in Christ and what makes you free forever. So it's been 35 years since that day in the parking lot in Auburn. And I'll tell you, I have struck out many times since then. more strikeouts than I could possibly remember. But I can still hear my dad's voice saying to me, I know who you are. You are not a quitter. Don't start now. The voice of the Father calls you. I know who you are. Go forth. I am with you, and I will work through you.
Thank you, Michael, for your message that brings clarity, if not renewed invigoration, to live into the reason for our being. It's like taking Windex and cleaning the window off of our spirits so we can see more clearly the vision that's there for all of us. Thank you so very much. Please join me in prayer. Now, Father in heaven, this little light of ours, we're going to make it shine. We're going to be conscientious about making it shine. In times of goodness and good things happening and many blessings all around us, we're going to be aware of these as blessings. We won't take them for granted. We're going to let our light shine. And when life becomes an uphill struggle, we're going to lean upon you. We're going to rest within you for patience. We're going to let all see our light shine when there is a very difficult challenge. And when we hit a slippery spot in life and we fall down and we seem to be wallowing in the mire or lost our way, we recognize that it's you who relights our light. You rekindle a dependence upon you. You once again open the door to your love from which we walk in and find our strength to get up and to walk again. We too are not quitters. All of us, Moses is here. We are not quitters. Even though there may be times when we want to quit, when the spirit is no longer there, when it seems like it just gets too tough, we will not quit. We will fall instead into your loving embrace and await the inspiration of your presence, for there is nothing that can separate us from you. Good news for us all. We dance in the Spirit, we celebrate, and we look forward into what's going to happen in the next moment, the next hour, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year of life, should you give it, so that we can be a beacon of hope. If they are to find the light within us, Father, we need to sharpen our light to make it glow even brighter by a closer walk with you. The more we embrace you in knowledge and understanding and commitment and surrender, the more you glow within us and the more our message is profoundly experienced. We experience it in Mike as he brings the message of his experiences with other people. We see and more importantly experience his enthusiasm as a testimony to the witness of your Spirit at work, alive and well in broken spirits, healing them, kneading them together. It is good. So, Father, as we, as people of this congregation, as we journey forward as a community of believers, may the light within this lighthouse shine brightly, especially on dark days. May it be steady, strong, brilliant, with doors open to everyone, not closed to anyone. And as they come and be a part of us, there is welcome celebration. And we thank you for that opportunity. Let continue to bless each of us. Continue to bless this congregation. We thank you for the blessings of past clergy in our midst, and also for Lynn, who is currently here, and for those who will come. This is not a ministry about people. It's a ministry about your word, O God, lived out through your people. And together we would pray the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn is 350, Fill My Cup. Michael, may I ask you to come up and give us a benediction, a blessing.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, that the God who called Moses from the bush calls to each one of us today, that you invite us to let your fire come inside of us and light us up and fill us up, so that in leaving this place we might go and bring your fire with us, your fire that defines us as we make our identity in you. And as we go, might we give light and warmth to others, the ones you love, the ones you call to go and share the good news with. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for these good people. Thank you for your precious word, your atoning death, and your eternal love for us. Thank you that we have a home in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.